CSN International presents To Every Man an Answer, the live apologetics program that equips you to give a reason for the hope that lies within you.
If you have a Bible question or a question on the Christian faith, you can call us at 1-888-827-5276. Again, that's 1-888-ASK-CSN.
Let's get things started. Here's today's host, Mike Kessler.
Hi, and welcome to Wednesday's edition of To Every Man an Answer. Glad you've joined us as we always set this time aside every weekday afternoon to answer questions about the Bible from the Bible, look at current events from a biblical perspective, and what we hear in church, is it even in the Bible at all? You know, again, we live by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. You know, yesterday we got a question that there's a lot of heresy taught on the radio. And here's the problem that I find with a lot of this that goes on. If you dare to correct it, or you say what they're teaching is heresy, you're branded as somebody that doesn't love it. It's like, you know, if you voted Republican, you're anti-woman, anti-this, anti-everything. And it's simply not true. The Bible says to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The problem is so many people don't know the Bible. And so you have these guys that come on, you know, cable vision, these different things. And we had a question yesterday. Was Cain the seed of Satan? Where it goes back to the curse that was upon Satan. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Speaking of the head wound is mortal, and Jesus does and has conquered death, but he would bruise his heel, the crucifixion. Now, talking about the seed and all, well, I get a little, I'm sorry, everybody, because I do have a passion for God's word. And I really am troubled by people that can't read second grade English. Now, I'm not trying to be somebody put somebody down, but the question was Cain the seed of Satan? And that went on. And I just wanted to read this to everyone from yesterday. Chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis. Now, it cannot get any clearer than this. Now, Adam knew his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain. Very clearly, it says that Cain was the offspring of Adam and not the devil. And yet these people go on the internet, go on cable TV, satellite TV, and they just... It's so troubling because they're not only off in that area, they're off in so many other areas. When something is as simple, and you can take this verse, chapter 4, verse 1 of Genesis, to any second grade English teacher that teaches students and says, what does this mean? It's very obvious it means exactly what it says. But oh no, these people are super spiritual. The Bible doesn't know what it's talking about. Let me straighten you out. Oh, friends, it's so bad. So anyway, I just wanted to clear that up from yesterday. I got a little hot because not, of course, at any caller. I never want to ever be mad at any caller. But I'm mad at the doctrine that these people spew out that turn people's hearts, change the word of God, and cause people to lose their faith. I see it all the time. And it's very, very troubling me. Joining me today, special guest that we have on the weekends, we have with us Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota, and state senator now at large. Welcome.
Well, at large is right. I used to have a six pack. I got a one pack now, so I got to work.
Well, you know what they say about that.
You're going to tell me
when you grab your belly and you hold on to it. My uncle always used to say, you can always tell a guy's on the level when his bubble's in the middle.
I would have loved hanging out with him, Mike. It's always fun to be on the program with you, and I just a shout out to the viewers and to the listeners. You guys ask incredible questions, and we're grateful for the opportunity to straighten some things out, like you were talking about, Mike. There's some goofy doctrine out there. Serpent seed, it's superstition. There's nothing biblical about it at all. So so just follow this. You can never go wrong with the Word of God. Isn't that right, Mike?
Amen. Again, we live in a time that I think is so important because, you know, and we've talked about this a lot in general about relativism and what was rendered absolute nuts, kooky ideas in the 50s now is accepted as normal and taught in our colleges. And so true is true if it's true to you. But your truth and your reality may not be mine. And who am I to say that what your reality is wrong? And so therefore, we all just groove together, cuckoo, cuckoo. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, everything. Because the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end, there's destruction. And so then going back, and as Pilate or Herod asked, what is truth? I believe that is still the same thing that's haunting us today. And so rather than try to find truth, well, true is defined by you. And this is why we have so many different ideas and why the whole nation and the world is polarizing right now. Because there's no absolutes, but the Bible is absolute. John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And boy, I'll tell you, if there's two things we need today is truth and we need life. And I don't mean the kind of life that comes out of a Miller can. I mean the real life, life from Jesus Christ. And that's what we are about. And so I just want to encourage you, give us a call. If you've been reading your Bible, come across somebody, something you don't understand, somebody's posed you a question that seems to be difficult or I gotcha kind of moment, well, call us. That's why we're here for you every day to help you witness. And so I you know, again, you might be witnessing, well, I'm afraid they're going to throw a got me, a gotcha question, you know. Well, take it. Call us and then catch back up with them tomorrow or the next day. Give them the truth. That's why we're here. 8888. Ask CSN's the number to call. You can be part of the program today. And with that, we're going to go to Adam in Toledo, Ohio. Thank you for calling back from yesterday. Thank you.
Hey, no problem. I thoroughly enjoy your program. You guys always do an awesome job. I really enjoy listening. Yesterday you had a gentleman real quick, who was asking about healing. And I am a firm believer in that. God has been healing our nation. I'm prayerful that, Donald Trump will be a person to, facilitate some of that. I have a question regarding, the Nicene Creed and, if whether or not it's a good metric for, somebody who might not be very well-versed in churchology type of stuff, if it would be a good metric for them to use to judge whether or not a specific church that they might be interested in going to is based in biblical truth or not.
Well, I've seen many denominational churches hold on to the Nicene Creed. You know, we believe in, you know, God the Father, God, you know, they have the basic. But unfortunately, once they're done with the Nicene Creed, then they get into all the wokeism and all the crazy stuff that has nothing to do with the Bible and taught as scripture. Your thoughts, Greg?
Well, you know, I think in general, the Nicene Creed, I think it's a good summary on the doctrinal facts of the Christian
of the Bible.
Faith.
It is good.
Yeah, I like Adam. I like the way that you called it churchology. That's funny. I think I might steal that for something. That sounds pretty good. But in a nutshell, it just basically goes through the doctrines that were established, even the early church. And I'm talking about Mike. You would know better. It's around 300 A.D. when Constantine is kind of formalizing and crystallizing what church doctrine should be, because like there's goofy stuff out there now, there was goofy stuff going on then. So they wanted to make sure that the essentials were being, you know, in a virgin birth, in the deity of Christ, in the humanity of Christ, those kinds of things. So in general, yes, I think it's a good succinct way to explain Christianity, as long as that's exactly what Mike was referring to, is that it appears, you know, there's some denominational churches that will completely support the Nicene Creed, like evangelical churches would as well, but then they get goofy on the other essential doctrines of the Christian faith. And so I wouldn't say that they hide behind it, but they don't abide to the totality of Scripture. And I think that's kind of what Mike was referring to. Mike, if you want to clarify
what I'm saying is, because you mentioned, you know, is that a good gauge to find a church? Well, there's nothing wrong with the Nicene Creed, but if that's the only part of Christianity that the denomination holds on to, and everything else is sky's the limit, then that is not necessarily an indicator that the church or denomination is right on. So again, I think, you know, kind of the basic doctrines in a nutshell are in the Nicene Creed. You cannot believe the Nicene Creed and be a Mormon. You can't receive and believe the Nicene Creed and be a Jehovah's Witnesses. You can't believe the things and be a Christian Science organization. All these, because they don't believe that Jesus Christ is God's only Son. Jehovah's Witnesses believe that Jesus is Michael the Archangel. Yet Matthew chapter 1 says, "He shall be called Emmanuel," which translated means God with us. That's what the Nicene Creed says. So you can't really repeat that. Mormon Church believes Satan and Jesus are brothers. Got a real problem with that. Get into these other cults and Jesus was just the phantom. He didn't really come in person. It was a ghost that's with the mostest, you know. So you gotta just be kind of, you know, you just have to just look and see. I'll send you out a little book called Time to Grow, a real good book, because you could even give it to the pastor and say, "Do you agree with what's in this book?" Because everything I got there, I listed for a new believer, is really the doctrine, the essentials of Christianity, and the Bible verses are all there. And if they say, "Well, I agree with most of it," well, then what part don't you agree with, and what verses are you in contention with concerning basic Christian doctrine? So stay on the line, and I'll get that out to you, Adam.
All right. Hey, John, I appreciate, again, both of your responses. You guys always put on a great show. You guys just knock it out of the park.
God is good. He's the one that knocks it out of the park. We just get to be in the stands watching. That's what I like. So, Adam, stay in line. I'll send you the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke. I think you'll really enjoy that. Thanks so much for the call. Let's go to Hal in Panama City, Florida. Hi and welcome.
Hey, how y'all doing? Thank y'all.
Good. How may we help?
Yes, sir. I got a question about the everything that's going on in the world nowadays, and with our new president. What's on the horizon for America? You know, as far as
well, if Joe Biden keeps it going, we might have World War III by the end of the week. Now, let me explain that. It's very clear. Putin said, if these weapons that the United States gives the Ukraine are used to penetrate deep into Russia, he will view that as a declaration of war. Joe Biden just said, you can go ahead and use the weapons we're giving you to penetrate deep into Russia. Putin is furious. And so I think we got some real problems here. You know, I pray that Trump gets inaugurated. But we may have serious problems before. Did Biden do this on purpose to get us into a war? Is he just trying to be good to Ukraine at the cost of World War III? I don't know. But I know what he says, what Putin is saying. And it's almost like he's had his finger on the trigger for a long time, just looking for a reason to pull it. And I got to tell you, friends, this kind of irrational behavior from somebody that is going out, again, this train wreck that we've had as an administration for the last 4 years, and it is, you watch the, and by the way, be careful, everyone, please be careful of the American news media. It is so corrupt. It is so rotten. They twist things. They report their opinion as if it's fact. I looked at one today in the New York Times. It's atrocious. I don't even have a clue what color the sky is in their world. And this stuff that they put out in the name of journalism is nothing but propaganda. You look at MSNBC, CBS, and NBC. You look at these networks, you know, reporting the news once was their number one thing. But it has become, it's become so much in the way of opinion. Facts are facts. The gangs from Venezuela, these other, spreading out through the United States. And it was all brought in primarily by Kamala Harris. I got to say it, friends, you can't bend the truth. And then you have governors like Newsom in California saying, not in our state. ICE isn't coming in here to deport anybody. Yet they're $1.something trillion in debt. They need federal assistance. If Trump doesn't give them the money, then big bad Trump is beating us up, all because they harbor hardcore criminals that are destroying America. So I don't know. I mean, Greg, your thoughts. I'm glad we have you on, because now I have a real senator that I can talk to. Go for it.
Yeah, I think the word real is a relative term. You know, I'm hoping to be a statesman and not a politician, but we need more. Certainly we need more pastors involved in those levels of government if they're making decisions for us. I encourage our people, run for any office that God opens the door for you, because yes, there's a sacrifice and it will be very time consuming, but just think of the good things that that A can do and shine a light in a very dark place. So Hal, you're asking some great questions, and I was just thinking about it, that one thing, and I know that this isn't describing you, but I know that a lot of people keep their eyes on the White House when they really need to be keeping their eyes on God's house, because that's where the real decisions are made. But at the same time, this new administration, Mike would agree, we are so grateful out of the two people that we're running to lead the highest office in the world and to be our commander in chief. I'm extremely glad that it's Donald Trump. Yet with that said, our platform has changed dramatically, and you can tell, and I'm excited in some ways by all these out of the gateway non-politicians that our president is desiring, nominating to be leaders in our cabinet. But you have to remember there are some solid evangelical born-again Christians who trust in the Word of God. But it's very diverse now. It's very diverse now, and there's already.
Well, they're not politicians. He's picking regular people, and this never happened before, you know. And I think this is. I mean, you know, I mean, Greg, you're kind of an inspiration. I mean, you were a pastor, now a state senator, and you just said I'll run, and you ran, end up running unopposed.
After the primary, I ran unopposed. The primary was tough, and it was a lot of work, but anything worth doing, you know, God could have just, he could just plop nothing but Christians in all 35 seats in our Senate But he doesn't do that. He opens the door. He empowers us to do it from beginning to end. But we have to be the ones that are willing to count the cost and willing to do it and willing to make a stand for issues. Here in South Dakota, abortion was on the ballot. Recreational pot was on the ballot. Going to a California style voting process.
Oh, ranked was, voting. It is yeah, truly ranked, everybody. They named it right. Ranked voting. It's pure rank. It is the nastiest. And probably what was a lot of California money trying to push that?
Yes. No, yeah, of course.
Out of state money on this ranked voting. Alaska's trying to get rid of it, but man, I'll tell you, it's like fungus, man. You need a lot of Clorox, man. I'll tell you to get rid of that, because it's irrational when you look at it. But when you ask the question again, how does that tie into last times? I Jesus is the savior of the world, not Donald Trump. We have to remember that. You have to remember that America was headed for and still is a major financial correction. Now, I believe that the American economy was propped up artificially by all kinds of things to get Kamala Harris inaugurated. Then the crash comes. Then out of the ashes comes the new, beautiful communist America, the progressive America. Completely a totalitarian system. I really believe that was their plan. Joe Biden tapped into the United States oil reserves for only wartime only to artificially push the price of fuel down, because he knew if gasoline was $5 a gallon, he wasn't going to get reelected. So they artificially, in Kamala Harris gang, was artificially pushing that down, then put pressure on the feds to lower the interest rates right before the election. Wow, what a miracle. No, it's called manipulation. And that's the problem. But the interest rates are still high. Inflation is not going away. And this is the problem. So then let it collapse, and then out of the ashes, the new communist America. But listen, friends, the economy is still artificially propped up. And it doesn't matter whether Trump was in or Kamala Harris was in, the crash is coming. $36 trillion in debt, unsustainable. You got to remember this. Because you say, how does this all tie into end times? Remember, the world is still rushing towards a one world order, one world monetary system, one world government. I believe we got a little bit of time here, maybe. But maybe not, because I'll tell you, if they let the economy crash, which the manipulators that are around, you know, Elon Musk, several others said, we need to get off the Federal Reserve System. Now, John Kennedy tried to do that and got a bullet in the head. I'm serious. That's one of the things he did. I have some $2 bills, $5 bills, and $10 bills. Made in 1963, Kennedy was alive. And do you know what it says at the top of the dollar bill? When you look at it, if you look at a $5 bill, it says Federal Reserve Note on what you have in your wallet right now. But when Kennedy was president, it said United States Note. It was drawn on a completely different bank. Now, he tried to take us off the Federal Reserve. We see what happened to him and all the hush-hush, all the crazy stuff. Who really killed him? No one really knows. It was an inside job. Now, when we look at this, you realize that again, drawing on a different bank disrupts this machine that they've got going so they can control our nation. Thomas Jefferson said, I fear banks more than in any invading country, for through inflation and deflation, they can completely destroy a country. Well, we're seeing that happen. Look, a quarter in 1963 today is worth $8. 25 cents in 1963 is equivalent to over $8 today. You don't think our economy's in trouble? When I hear people like Biden, Kamala Harris saying, oh, our economy is great. No, it is an absolute train wreck. The American news media is lying. Now, let me explain something real quick that goes along with this. They spent $2 trillion from January 1st of this year till right now, $2 trillion, and the economy is still a train wreck. What is going on here? So, can Trump fix it? If the crash comes, of course, the rotten American news media is going to blame. It's all Trump's fault. I've only been in office for, a couple of months, and it's all his fault. Well, listen, this is all orchestrated. And again, you've got the American news media squarely in the pocket of the Progressive Communist Party. It's there. You can see it. They twist it. And we just have to be aware of it. But we have the truth of God's word. The Bible says work for the night is coming. So yes, when you ask the question, Hal, where are we at prophetically? I still believe we're as close to the rapture as we've ever been. I don't believe God put the rapture off because Trump got in. I realize that we are in a very, very troubled situation right now. You've got global unrest. You have Putin, the president of Russia, saying he's going to go to war with us today. Now, friends, again, I don't know what is going on with everything, but Jesus said, work for the night is coming when no one can work. This Thanksgiving, don't get into politics over the turkey. Just don't do it. Well, what do you think about Trump? What do you think about Kamala? What do you think about? I'd say, that doesn't really matter. What matters is Jesus. And keep the focus in your home around Jesus. Don't let politics divide you, but be more concerned about their eternal destiny. Hal, I hope that helps.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Thank y'all for what y'all do.
God is good. And again, we love America. We understand our Judeo-Christian principles. We see this liberal. Bobby Kennedy, he's a Democrat. But Kamala Harris, they call themselves Democrats, but they hold the ideology of communists. In fact, Trump in the presidential debate called her a Marxist. She never verbally denied it. Different ideology, different place they go. Coming up on a break, we'll be back for more right after this.
Because of your generosity, over 300,000 babies have been saved at Preborn Network clinics.
That ultrasound changed everything for me. It really did. That made it all worthwhile to know that I was going to have a little blessing. And when she got here, it was just, oh my gosh.
Families, small groups, and churches across the nation are joining forces to help protect the preborn. Together, we can stand for the preborn by sharing heartbeats. Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a Preborn Network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 77,000 women have come to know Christ. To find out more about Preborn's life-saving work, visit preborn.com/CSN. That's preborn.com/CSN. Or call 855-668-BABY. That's 855-668-BABY. All gifts are tax deductible.
If you are 65 or older, you know this. Inflation is hitting everyone hard right now, especially when it comes to healthcare. Over the last 10 years, healthcare costs have skyrocketed by, get this, 230%. If you have Medicare Parts A and B, you know there are still out-of-pocket expenses like deductibles and copayments, and they really add up. But here's some good news. MediShare 65 Plus is designed to fill in those gaps and help protect you from rising healthcare costs. At only $99 per month up to age 75, you get peace of mind at a price you can afford. And MediShare is trusted, too. It's been around 30 years. It's not some big impersonal thing. It's a community of people helping each other, business owners, pastors, retirees. People love it. MediShare 65 Plus just makes sense. To learn more, give them a call. They're great to talk to. They'll offer to pray with you each time you call, too. Call now. 833-90-SHARE. That's 833-90-SHARE. 833-90-SHARE.
And we want to welcome you back to part two of To Every Man an Answer here on this Wednesday afternoon with Greg Blanc from Calvary Chapel, Rapid City, South Dakota, and South Dakota's newest senator there in the state house there in South Dakota. So welcome back. Again, Hal, stay online. If you like, we'll send you out some books, some DVDs. Let's go to Ruth in Lancaster, California.
thank you so much for answering. I really appreciate your going back to the Hebrew and getting the meanings, because I am English in language and reading specialist, and when I became knowledgeable about the structure and the syntax and the, et cetera, it's completely opposite of Hebrew. And so when I was listening and trying to read from the English version, I really got confused, because Adam knew Eve doesn't translate in English from Hebrew very well. That means you're able to have a baby by knowing.
Well, no, the you have to remember, and this is where a lot of people get into a lot of trouble when they're trying to twist the scripture. And here's what it is. People will sometimes look up a word in the Greek and go, oh, this word in the Greek means this, and the whole verse changes. No, that's not the way you read it. You see, in the Greek and in the Hebrew, the words around the word in question are as important as the word you looked up, for that gives the context of the word. And so, as we find in the New King James, the Old King James, we find this very clearly. Now, the context is that, and let's just read it again. Now, Adam knew his wife. She conceived, bore Cain, and she said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. It didn't say I got a half spirit, half man from the Lord, because if Lucifer was Cain's dad, well, then we would have that problem. So when we look at it in context, it's very clear what it's talking about. Then she bore again, this time, brother Abel, in verse 2. Your thoughts, Greg?
Yeah, I was just looking it up what the actual word is in Hebrew, and good for you. Good for you, Ruth, for being a student of the Bible. I remember that Mike McIntosh taught us years ago, when it comes to translating words, that there are times when you just have to remember that the context of the use will often define the intention of the writer there. So I agree, when you're reading in maybe a New King James or a King James, it says that Adam knew his wife. But if you look, I was just looking up in the NIV, it says Adam lay with his wife. In the New Living Translation, it says that Adam had sexual relations with his wife. In the actual Living Bible, it says then Adam had sexual intercourse with his wife, Eve. So that's one of the great opportunities for us who do want to study, to show ourselves approved workmen and workwomen who rightly divided the word of truth. Read in multiple translations. But I agree with what Mike says. I think the context certainly defines what's going on there. You don't have a baby by shaking hands. You don't have a baby by introducing yourself to somebody and, oh, I know that person. No, knew was just kind of a poetic, innocent form of saying that they had sexual relations, because the context obviously results in a pregnancy. Pastor Mike?
Yeah, in first and verse 1 and verse 2 of chapter 4 of Genesis.
Yeah.
Ruth, hope that
there
helps.
There you go.
Well, the problem is putting the responsibility on English teachers and just reading. No, you cannot just read from any version and get the truth if you don't have access to the meaning from the Hebrew, because
that's
Hebrew...
not true. I don't believe that. I believe the Word of God stands. And again, when those people were appointed to translate from the Greek and from the Hebrew into our, they used the very best words and understanding that they had. And if somebody's trying to interpret the word new, just as you said, Greg, oh yeah, I know Tom. That's not what this is talking about. The context based on chapter 4, verse 1 and verse 2 is very clear that it's talking about that. Now, again, well, maybe a second grade teacher trying to explain how babies are made. Okay, I understand what you're saying there. But the point is, it's simple. It's not hard to understand. And for somebody to say, oh, this is the seed of Satan, where in the world did you come up with that, buckaroo? It ain't in there. And yet these people do that. And that's troubling to me, because now all of a sudden we've invented a whole new way of exegeting the words out of the Bible, what we bring out of the Bible, because things that are obvious, they're not obvious at all. Did Jesus really die on the cross? Or was it just a really great idea? In fact, did Jesus even come along? Or, as many of the cults say, he was just a phantom. And, you know, you realize that this is the problem. And if that's the way people establish exegeting Scripture or taking out of Scripture to find truth, no wonder the book of Revelation doesn't make any sense for most of these people. Because, well, every living thing in the sea died. Now, that's metaphorically speaking. No, it's not. That's saying exactly what's going to happen. And whether man does it himself through nuclear war or whether God does it from some other aspect, I can absolutely see how every living thing in the sea can die. Now, when something is a metaphor, as an example in Revelation, it says, and something like. Well, then, yeah, okay, that's a rough description. Yeah, there's a lot of wiggle room there. Or I saw a beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. I've never seen a beast like that. Been through a lot of National Geographics and been to some zoos. Never saw anything like that. So I know that's metaphorically speaking. But when the Bible says that you're going to have a mark on your hand or on your forehead, and you won't be able to buy or sell unless you sell your allegiance out to the one world order, I believe that's exactly what it means. And see, this is where, and I think, Ruth, this is where so many people get in trouble, because now all of a sudden the Bible is relativism. It doesn't matter what it says. It's how you look at it, baby. No. See, and that's what's hard. And so I really believe that this is why we have to go back to the absolute word of God. That's what truth is. I mean, read Romans chapter 1. If anybody has a chance to read Romans, how would a lot of the modernist churches read Romans chapter 1? They would have to psychedelicize it away, because it addresses the very problems that are destroying our society today. Any last thoughts, Greg?
Nope. I think you covered it well.
Ruth, dear, I hope that helps. Stay online, send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I got a really good DVD for you. It's The Life of Jesus, based completely on the book of Luke. Great to share with your friends. And then I got another little book called Time to Grow. And then 101 Last Days Prophecy, I think you'll really enjoy. So hope that helps. And got a lot of calls here. Let's go to Cindy in Prineville, Oregon. Hi, and welcome.
Hi there. My question is, when Lazarus died and was dead for 4 days, what happened to his spirit or his soul during that time?
Well, you know, it's interesting that you say that, because it is funny that there was another guy in the Bible named Lazarus that went to a place called Abraham's bosom. Your thoughts on that, Greg?
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say, that, you know, sometimes we have to just confess that where the Bible is silent, so am I. But we can have a few presumptions that I think are biblically accurate. When Old Testament saints died before Jesus atoned for the death, they went to, believers went to Sheol, or the compartment in Sheol known as Abraham's bosom or paradise. We read about that between the Lazarus and the rich and the rich man, right? When we find out what happened, what happened there. But we just have to remember this, that Lazarus wasn't resurrected. He was resuscitated. So where was his soul? I believe that his soul was in paradise.
Abraham's bosom.
Yeah, was in paradise. Because remember, Old Testament believers are not going to get their glorified body until after the, is it after the millennial reign?
The rapture of the church is when they get their glorified body.
The rapture.
Dead in Christ rise first,
and
those who are alive and remain are caught up to be with him in the air. Finally, this mortality puts on immortality. And man, I'll tell you, the older I get, the more I know I need it. You don't got to be 80 to understand that. I mean, you could be 30 years old and man, all of a sudden your old high school football injuries, you start getting arthritis in them and you're going, you mean I got to get up again? Or you get down on the floor to tie your shoes. And while you're down there on the floor, you're looking whatever other things I can do while I'm down here. Cause it's a long way down here. It's a long way to get back up again, but we're going to get a new body. Cindy, I hope that helps.
It sure does. I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Stay in line. Send you out the movie Jesus, Time to Grow, and also 101 Last Days Prophecies for calling in. If you've got any more questions, hey, we're here for you. We love you. And in fact, we love all the questions that we get here on Every Man and Answer. Let's go to Jim, Prineville, Oregon. Hi, welcome.
Afternoon. Nice talking to you again, and congratulations to the new senator.
Yes.
Just remember this. This is a state senator. This isn't a federal senator. So there's 35.
A mere stepping stone.
I'm getting old, man. So anyway, I didn't mean to interrupt, Jim. What's your question?
I don't really have a question. I have a couple testimonies for your caller that called in yesterday and was concerned about having enough faith. And people saying, well, you didn't have enough faith, so you weren't healed. But I have a couple of testimonies I'd like to share.
Well, yes, very quickly. We've got a lot. I want to get through all my calls here if I can today. So, yeah, very quickly, tell us, Jim. We love to hear the great things that God does.
Okay. When I retired from the service in 95 after 32 years, a year later, I had an annual checkup, and they discovered that I had hemochromatosis, too much iron in my blood, and it had built up over that time. It never had shown up before. Well, I was going in every month to have a phlebotomy. Well, when I first found out, they took out 32 units in 32 weeks. So now, after all this time, I believe I've been healed because it's been 8 months and I haven't had to have a phlebotomy. So I believe that God takes time sometimes to work things out, just like He does. You know, sometimes you have to wait. The other one was when I was in another church in Washington, a lady came down and prayed with me and my wife. I was on the prayer team, and she was praying that she'd been married for 2 years and they'd been trying to have a baby. Well, she wanted to have a baby with her husband, and so we prayed. And as I was leaving the church, I noticed there was a lady on the opposite side aisle as her, and she had a newborn. And it was like God said, she needs to hold that baby. And so I went over, and, you know, kind of felt foolish, but I asked the lady with the newborn if the other lady could hold that baby. And she said, sure. And so I took her over there. And the lady was kind of hesitant, but she finally held that baby. The next month, she was pregnant. So,
you know, I'm amazed, Jim, how God answers prayer. I mean, you know, and we talked about this yesterday, you know, where Jesus healed one guy that was blind, and he touched him, and he says, what do you see? And the man says, I see men as trees walking. He wasn't completely healed. And so then Jesus prayed for him a second time. Now, sometimes Jesus healed immediately all at once, you know, just like we always think a miracle should be. But then, you know, sometimes when we pray for healing and it seems to take a little bit longer, or God doesn't do it the way we thought he was going to do it, then we it kind of rattles our faith sometimes. Greg, your thoughts?
No, I think that, well, obviously, the gifts are for today. The gifts of miraculous healing are for today. And I think that if we would exercise a little more faith and trust the Lord, I think that we would probably see it more. But Jim, how great is that you've got two of those testimonies. So we come in agreement. We say hallelujah with you. Go out and tell somebody today about what God is doing in your life.
Amen. You know, that's something that we all have. You know, people a lot of times say, well, I'd like to share my faith, but I'm not smart. You don't have to be smart. Just share what God's done for you. No one can argue with your testimony. Hey, I was lost, fumbling around in my sins, and I got saved, and I'm not fumbling around in my sins anymore. Now, sometimes I still fumble around, but, you know, the desire of my heart is to do what God wants. Jim, thanks so much for the call. Stay online. Send you out a couple of books, a couple of DVDs. I think you'll really enjoy. Thanks for the testimony. It's always a blessing to hear the great things that God does. Let's go to Patrick in Bel Air, Washington. Hi, and welcome.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good. How may we help?
Okay, so it's a twofold question. When the Bible says, when these things happen, look up for your redemption draws nigh, I was wondering, what exactly are we looking for when we look up, right?
Well, he says, when you begin, you missed a word there. It said, when you begin to see these things, look up, your redemption draws nigh. And again, I believe that you begin to see the alignment of what Jesus said, what the book of Daniel says, what Jeremiah, the other prophets in the Old Testament said, what we see in the book of Revelation, what we see Paul talking about, all these things start aligning. I think this is where the Bible says, look up. You know, many Christians today are so downcast. And what I mean by that, they don't even look up at all. They just look down all the time. I'm saying even in a physical manner, they just are bummed. They're beat up. They're tired. They're sore. They really haven't had maybe a lot of fellowship. And my heart goes out to them. And that's why Jesus, I think, says this, when you look at everything, don't let those things overwhelm you on top of just living every day. But look up. Your redemption draws nigh. Your thoughts, Greg.
Well, I think it's just the attitude of living in expectation. And if you're living in expectation of the return of Jesus at any moment, there is going to be an urgency in our lives to be walking the walk and talking the talk and telling people about Jesus and asking the Lord to search our hearts to identify the sin. You can't change what you don't identify. So you want to identify the sin, and then you want to surrender it to the Lord and ask for his help to forsake it, you know, completely. It means that everything is expedited, and those signs, we are living in those times right now that we should be lifted up and we should be excited. Remember, the rapture is our hope. You know, Paul told comfort one another with these things and allow, kind of like what Pastor Mike was just saying, is that every once in a while, we need to just allow the Lord to gently place his fingers under our chin and help us to just lift up our heads and understand that this cesspool of a world is not our home. Heaven is our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. So just encourage people with that. Patrick, does that help?
Yep. So it's basically not really a physical thing in the sky we're looking for. It's more of a attitude thing that we, you know, keep be in good spirit and look up, you know, and don't look down and keep focused. Is that what you're saying?
Well, yes, but I also believe that Jesus will, when the rapture comes, he's going to call us home and, he's not coming from down beneath. He's coming from above. So, yeah, I think it's both. Any last thoughts, Greg?
No, we're gonna meet him. We're gonna meet him in the air. But primarily, you know, the sons of Issachar, they understood the signs of the times, and so we need to. They had understanding. We should have understanding too. That's an excellent question, Patrick.
Yep, sure is. Patrick, stay in line. I'll send you a little book called 101 Last Days Prophecy. I think you can really enjoy that, as well as Time to Grow and the movie Jesus based on the book of Luke. Stay in line. We'll get you taken care of. Let's go to Sandy, Montana. Hi, welcome.
Hi. Hi, pastors. Hey, I have a question regarding the first several chapters of Revelation regarding the letters to the churches. Now, did all of the churches receive the correspondence that was sent to each individual church? So, like the church in Smyrna, would they have known what the church in Ephesus, what the Ephesus letter was all about, and all the way to the seven, you know, all seven?
Greg, what's your thoughts?
Well, I think you are correct. I think that you're correct, Sandy. That just like the epistles, they were circular letters, and they're obviously, just like there is benefit for us reading through them today, there was, just because you didn't live in the city of Philadelphia, or you didn't live in the city of Sardis or the city of Thyatira, all of them had beneficial meaning. So I have to believe that they were read by other cities and in other churches outside that particular city. What do you think, Mike?
And it's also the history of the church too. I mean, the, you know, when Hebrews would read scripture, they would read it for three things. Obviously, what is it saying? Number two, the spiritual application of it. And then the prophetic application. And certainly the prophetic application of the seven churches is really the history of the church down through the ages, right up to where we are at today, where we have the Church of Brotherly Love, the Philadelphian church, and then we have the Laodicean church, the lukewarm, spew you out of my mouth church, where they said, we're satisfied. We have need of nothing. Well, if you really understand what kind of a person you are, you need Jesus every day. Hope that helps, Sandy.
It sure does. With the study we've been doing in Revelation, that's what my thought was, because I personally can take something from every letter that was written to all those churches. So thank you so much, you guys.
Amen, Sandy. If you get any more, hey, we're here for you. Again, stay on the line if you like. Send you out 101 Last Days Prophecies, what I send everybody. Stay on. We'll get that to you. Let's go to Heidi, Minnesota. Hi, welcome.
Hi there. Hey, first of all, I want to thank you for the beautiful book, 101 Scientific Things. It is just the most amazing book.
Yeah, it is.
And I love it.
Well, Heidi, we only have about 2 minutes. We have 2 minutes.
I'm sorry. My question isn't really a question. I have just been put on my heart lately about the Ukraine sending the weapons to attack Russia, creating another issue with the world war. But my question or my concern is that I believe we should all be praying that Biden doesn't get anywhere near the nuclear doomsday button.
Well, I don't know that he's going to do that. I think but it is absolutely without a doubt. If you listen to any sane news network, there's a couple out there that I respect, America One, Newsmax, Fox, those. They're concerned. Congressman Gregg, your thoughts?
Well, things are, Mike alluded to it, and I would hope that nobody would think that way, but if there was all of a sudden a world war, what would happen to a presidential transition, you know, during the midst of that? Would there be an article that would be instituted that would say that that couldn't take place? I know that, you know, the administration that we have now is they don't think like the
They don't think normal.
Yeah, they don't think. Yeah, they don't think normal. And if they can cause problems, and one more thing for our new president to have to deal with, I wouldn't necessarily love always trust, but I wouldn't put it past him. Pastor Vike, yeah. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think poor Trump's going to inherit the worst national debt in the history of America, $36 trillion. Thanks, Joe. Very, very bad. How you deal with that? Hey, a lot of prayer. We need to pray for our leaders. Thanks, Greg, for being on. And as our caller said, keep looking up. Our redemption draws nigh. Good night. God bless
That's
everyone.
Right.
To find out more about this ministry or to receive a copy of today's program, please call 1-800-357-4226 or write us to Everyman and Answer, P.O. Box 391, Twin Falls, Idaho, 83303. That toll-free number is 1-800-357-4226. Subscribe to the free podcast on iTunes by searching for To Everyman and Answer in the iTunes store or visit us online at csnradio.com/TEMA. To Everyman and Answer is a production of CSN International, the Christian Satellite Network. The opinions expressed by our guests may or may not be those of CSN International or of this station.